hope will lead you astray. There's only one hope we have is in our God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, the title of my message is The Making of a Hero. The Making of a Hero. You know, every one of us has come from maybe some similar backgrounds of similar things or maybe not so similar in growing up. Some of us have had maybe more difficult times growing up than others. Some of us have made worse decisions than others. I mean, you know, whatever. But even in the midst of that, God chose you by name to call you out and to save your soul. That's awesome. Now, you might say, He called my name. He calls everybody's name. All who will come. All who will submit to Him. The altar call goes to all people throughout the world. Everyone. He hasn't predestined who would be saved or not. That's not Him. He's paid the sacrifice of dying upon the cross, and now He leaves the decision up to mankind if they will receive Him or not. But the call goes to whosoever will, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And we know where we've all come from. You know, some shady background sometimes, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Our God is a God that looks at the heart of a man or a woman. And when I say man, I'm talking about mankind. Looks at the heart of a man and says, what can I do? What can I do with him or with her? That's the kind of God we serve. And we serve a God that gives hope to his people. You know, if we didn't know that Jesus was coming back and we didn't have it stirring in our hearts, we'd be like, oh, Lord, this world, Lord, have mercy. But we have a hope. Just think of the world that has no hope, you know, as things are going on daily with stuff. A lot not good. Some of it is good. But to have no hope puts no desire in the hearts of a man or a woman, and it makes them not want to live. You know, that's why I said, thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Maybe someone's here that went to bed last night and said, Lord, take me home. Don't wake me up. But you see, you and I have no choice of those things. He is our God. When we gave Him our lives, we gave Him everything, huh? Huh? Everything belongs to Him. Even the little thimble in your house belongs to Him. Even the dog you have on the chain outside belongs to Him. The mop, the broom, and I know you're probably saying, oh, Lord. What I'm trying to get at is when we gave our hearts to the Lord, we should never hold anything back from Him. We are to totally give to Him what is rightfully His after what He did at Calvary's cross. The making of a hero that God is trying to do in us. Can you imagine a year or two from now what God is going to do in you and in me? If we could see the picture today, we would say, Lord, I don't believe it. But you see, God is working inside of you and inside of me to make us into what he desires and wants us to be. And we got to allow him to work. We got to allow him to speak to us. We got to allow him to discipline us. We should never be a rebellious people like the children of Israel were many, many, many times. You know, we hear the words, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. How many times I've read that in the Old Testament that just, it tears my heart because God chose these people. Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. That means they had no reverence for him at all anymore. Let me tell you this. Sin will bring you lower than you want to go. Now, and I'm not talking, hey, look, let me tell you this. You know, it was a sin. You know, there are some things maybe in all of our hearts that we really don't know may be displeasing to God. Really. But as time goes on, the Spirit of God works in us and says, what about this? Check it. What about that? Check it. Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. You see, that's growing and God making us into the mighty people that he wants us to be. Now, it says Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Really, many times what they did was backslid from God. Where they were supposed to be the chosen people to give out that word and to do what the Gentiles are doing today. They were supposed to be the heads of bringing forth the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. But because they refused him, God took it up and gave it to one, the Gentile people. And that's, a Gentile is anyone that's not an Israelite, okay? So that's 99.9% of the world. You know what I'm saying? There's some Jews, but there's not a lot compared to the whole world. So anyone that is not a Jew is called a Gentile, and he gave it to the Gentile world to preach the gospel. Because of that, he would allow evil empires to come. Because of their sin and their evil, God in his mercy, and you might say, well, why is that mercy? Because you see, whenever they would fall away, God would take his protection off. And he would allow other empires to come and take their cattle, take their sheep, take their crops, I mean everything, and steal from them, take. And then you know what they would do after a while? They would cry out to God and say, Lord, help us, we need help. And that's where God wanted them to be, so that they would call upon him. And let me tell you this, that's why God sometimes will allow us to get to places where all we can do is get on our knees and look up, because he's looking at the heart of a man and a woman and not at things. Let me tell you, when you close your eyes, all the things you have will be given to somebody else. And they might like it or not. They might throw it away or burn it. I don't know. But you can't take anything with you. Can't take George Washington with you, Thomas Jefferson, none of those guys. Can't take them. All you can take when you die is your soul that will go to heaven or hell. Oh, and as I look to you, I know heaven because you love the Lord and you're striving to do what God wants. But here the children of Israel had backslid. It says, but every time Israel cried unto the Lord without fail, always the Lord, he would always hear them and answer them. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every time you call upon him, he's there. Every time, every time, every time. Every time heartache comes and you call upon him, he's there. Every time you need God to give you an answer, he will give you an answer that you need. Our God is faithful and true, and you know what else? He is a reliable God. He is reliable, you know, reliable. We know we can trust him. We know when we call to him, he will come. That's the kind of God we serve. We are Christians, Christ-like. We love the Lord. And God will come in when we need for him to come in. As we pray about things, let me tell you this. Don't ever think your prayers are not being heard by your God. I know the devil comes in and says, well, you know, he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about what's going on. But let me tell you this. You get the word out and you start cutting him up. And you get that word out and you say what the word of God says. As we stand upon the word. Because we know as we call upon him, he answers our prayers. He will be there for us. He will answer and do the things that we're calling upon him to do. If it's according to his word. We got to remember it has to be according to the word of the Lord. The making of a hero. I want you to turn, if you would, to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, page 428. Judges chapter 6. Don't ever give up, people. Don't ever give up. It cringes my heart when I see Christians give up and not follow God anymore. It cringes my heart. Judges chapter 6, 7 and 8 talks about Gideon. A great man of God, but God had to do tremendous things through this man and teach him many things. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, we're all different. We come from different backgrounds, from different areas, some of us. And God has to do mighty things in us and through us to get us to that place where he can use us for the kingdom of God, to be effective in the kingdom of God. You might say, well, golly, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be, and that's right, a lot of work in all of us. But thank the Lord that he's patient and kind and helpful to us. And even when we fail him, he's able to have mercy upon us as we cry unto him and call out unto him to give us the mercy and the grace that we need to raise us back up to our feet, that we can stand strong and do what God has called us to do. See, God is not a God that will stand on the outside, but he's a God that gets in the midst of us and says, let me be there with you. Let me handle the situation. Let me take care of this that's going on. You see, we can trust our God. He's reliable. He's a reliable God. Amen. Always. Every time we get in our vehicles, we think it's going to start, huh? I mean, you know, if we ever have to go in our vehicles and think, will it start? You better get another vehicle. If you can't trust it. Now, I know sometimes it leaves us on the road here or there, but I tell you what, we know when we get in that vehicle, we're trusting that it will start and get us to the place where we need to go. God is more reliable than our vehicles. God is more reliable than the government. God is more reliable than anything in this world because he is a God of love towards us and wants to help us in all areas of our lives. Judges chapter 6, starting with verse 11. But before I read verse 11, Gideon was in turmoil and he lacked confidence. Confidence. God had called Gideon. Gideon came from a family that really didn't serve God at all. They served Baal. I mean, they worshiped Baal. And they had all kind of groves and stuff. And then what they mean was that they would make images of men and women and in a way that was good and worship these things. I mean, it was horrible, horrible, horrible. Gideon came out of that family. Gideon didn't think much of himself, but he loved the Lord. See, every one of us I know loves the Lord. You know how I know that? You know how I know that? Because you're in church. You love God. And you want to know more about Him. You want His presence. You want His power. You want His anointing upon your heart and your life. You want to serve Him. And also, you're obeying the Word of God. And when we obey the Word of God, the anointing and the presence of Almighty God is upon God's people. Always. Here we see Gideon, starting with verse 11, going all the way to 24. This is an encounter with an angel. Pre-incarnate Christ. Wasn't just any angel. This was Jesus Christ before he became human form with Mary and Joseph. Okay? This is before that. He came to earth. Now, can you imagine? We're going to read all these scriptures. Can you imagine? Gideon is talking to Jesus. Jesus is doing a mighty work in his heart and life. How many times has God spoken to us? The Holy Spirit. See, they're all three in one. But how many times has God come in a hardship time and spoke some things to you, showed you some things in the Word of God, had somebody share something with you? Yes. Thus saith the Lord, the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah! Yes. And changed your life forever! Because of what God had done in your heart and in your life. Never forget those things. Never forget those encounters with God. Because when you remember those things, you have hope and you have faith in your God, what He can and will do in your heart and in your life and in your family and in your country and in your church. Hallelujah. Where we need the presence of Almighty God. We shouldn't have on the front of the church, not welcome. But we should have welcome to this place, Lord. But let me tell you, there are a lot of churches where the Spirit of God is not welcome. You better not speak in tongues either. What? You will be escorted out. And say, don't come back. What a shame. What a shame. I hope those places close. Because they've led God's people away from Almighty God. That can do mighty things. That can raise up a man like Gideon. That thought of himself as zero. To really a man of God. To do what Almighty God wanted him to do. It takes Almighty God to make people weep under the presence of Almighty God. It takes Almighty God to take a person that has no hope and give them hope for the future. But can you imagine? Hey, I'd love to have a chapter with God. Huh? The only one. Let's read this. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joaz the Abizite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, Now the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now what a saying, huh? And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14. And the Lord looked up upon him and said, Go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that you talk with me. Can you imagine, after all of that, he still needs God to show him a sign that it's really him? But you know, let's not get too much on Gideon, because we ask him the same thing sometimes. He has to show us one time, and he says, okay, I think they got it. And Lord, show me again, please. I need to make sure. Again and again and again and again. You know, so let's not get too hard on Gideon. But I wish he would have got it. Now, this is an amazing story. And he found unto him, now I have found grace in your sight. Then show me a sign that you talk with me. Depart not hence, I pray you, until I come unto you and bring forth my present and set it before you. And he said, I will tarry until you come again. And the Gideon went in and made ready a kid that was a lamb and 11 cakes of ephod of flour. And the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto you, fear not, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Ammonites. Here we see the Midianites had come. They'd come every year, and they would steal the crops from Israel. They'd steal their sheep, their cattle, everything. At one point it says that the Israelites were about to die from starvation because they had nothing. And here, Gideon went into the threshing place, threshing floor, secretly, trying to get flour and stuff so that they could have it, secretly storing it away. And here an angel comes, which is Jesus Christ, and sits under the oak tree. And Gideon comes out, and he starts talking to him. Now, look at this. It says, the Lord, in verse 12, says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Amen, huh? That's a good one. In verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Now look, that's all of us. People, we need to get over where we come from. Doesn't matter if you come from on the other side of the tracks, you know the old saying. It does not matter what nationality. But look at Gideon was giving him an excuse not to be used of him. Don't ever give God an excuse. You don't have enough money. You can't speak well. You don't look right. Whatever it is, it's an excuses from the pit of hell. Let God use you. And when he uses you, you're going to see the presence and the power of Almighty God. I'm afraid. Hey, look, we've all been in that place. Gideon was afraid, but God showed him some things. Jesus went and spoke to him and talked with him. Verse 17, and he said unto him, I now have found grace in your sight. Then show me a sign that you talked with me. And here it says Gideon goes and kills a kid or a goat or a sheep. Takes some bread and some broth. And he brings it to the angel, Jesus. Jesus has a rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. He builds an altar. He puts the bread on the altar. Well, he puts the meat first, symbolizing Jesus and what he would do at Calvary's cross, people. And he put the bread on top of it. And he poured the broth on top of it. And all of a sudden, it says the angel looks, which is Jesus Christ. looks at Gideon and takes the end of his staff and touches the rock, and it goes up in flames. A sacrifice unto the God of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God showed him, I'm for real. I've called you. God's called you, people, to share the gospel. God's called you to do the things that he wants you to do. Don't back up from the calling of God. Don't back up. Hey, I'm not saying don't be afraid. But let me tell you this. After this scenario, what did Gideon call him? Jehovah what? Shalom. Which what is what? Jehovah who is what? Peace. Let me tell you this. After that encounter with the angel, the peace of God was upon Gideon. He was ready to do some business now. He knew God was in back of him, in front of him, and on the sides of him. He knew his God would take care of him no matter what. He knew whatever circumstances came his way, that God would take care of him. Let me tell you this, God will take care of you and I when we do what God wants us to do. When we handle the business of God. Look, we have the church. Most of the church is handling the business of man or their own business. It's sad to see what goes on. But let me tell you this, we need to handle the business of God. Yes. Preaching the gospel like he says unto all the world. Whatever we can do to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the world. And it says that Gideon, God called him and said, go to your father's house. You see, at his father's house, there were groves there. And there was an altar to Baal in that city at his father's house. And God said, Gideon, go. And Gideon, maybe he still had a little bit of fear, a little bit, but the peace of God was there. Went in at 11 o'clock at night. Went into that grove, tore down the altar of Baal, broke down the altars of the groves, and took and built an altar to God and sacrificed a cattle or oxen there. The city woke up in the morning and they said, what happened? Gideon's father got up in the morning and said, what happened? And all they saw was everything knocked down. And all they saw was an altar built to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says that his dad and that city, they knew who it was. It was Gideon. They got so mad at him, they went after him. But that's okay. That's okay. God was with him. It says the Midianites, which was part of all that, the army, was coming against Gideon and his army. And I'm trying to rush through a little bit. It's only 11 o'clock. 11 something. No, it's 11 something. It says the Midianites had many, many in their army. Gideon had 22,000. And the Lord said, Gideon, you have too much. Okay, Lord. You're thinking, Lord, add to it. That's what we would pray. Lord, we need more. Another 22,000, you know. He said, bring them to the watering hole. And he said, I want you to watch how they drink. And it says, the ones that put their face into the water and didn't look up, they just put their face and drank the water, he would tell them, go home. But he says, the ones that keep their eye upon what could happen and would take their water and lap up the water, that's the men you save and you keep. Now, 22,000 went down to 300. That's a lot to swallow. You're thinking Gideon probably said, Lord, you missed a few. Because we always think of numbers. You know, we always think, even in churches, you look at a church and say how big the building is, they're successful. We look at what people go there or how many people go there. That's success, not with God. Now, that could be success, but let me tell you, you know how God looks at success? God looks at success is you're doing what he says to do and you're at where he wants you to be. Now, there's great things with numbers. We want everybody, you know, but don't look at success by numbers or size of building. That's not how God looks at it, okay? Because we pass, you know, you pass in Lafayette and you go through certain subdivisions and you're going, my God, look at these houses, you know. You go into a doctor's appointment and you have to pass on their backside and you say, my God, how much it costs to build that home. You know, and you're thinking success. You know, and nothing wrong with that. And that is, to a certain point, success. But we shouldn't look at just those material things as success. Because doing the will of the Father, that is the most success. Doing his will and being where he wants you to be. You got down to 300. And all of a sudden, God says it's time to handle the Midianites. You know, when God's timing, God's timing. You know, sometimes God may say, okay, now, I want you to handle this situation in your life. It's time. I want you to get rid of this sin in your life now. Now, we need God to help us. We cannot overcome sin by ourselves at all. There's no way. It's a shackles. It shackles mankind. Only through our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. That breaks the shackles. And it leashes out the presence of God upon us to do what God wants us to do. And the Midianites were encamped. And one of them had a dream. And the dream was that the Midianites were talking about Gideon. And the fear that came upon that group of soldiers, the men. See, only God can do certain things. You see, God says, if you, Gideon, will follow me, I will give you victory over those people. And the Israelites, the Jews, will be free to keep what they grow and have. And it says that God said, okay, now Gideon, as fear was in the camp of the Midianites, he said, now Gideon, I need to prepare you and your 300 men. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take the 300 men and divide them into three camps. Okay, Lord. That means what? Everybody knows math? 100, 100, 100? Okay. And what I want you to do is I want you to go and surround the Midianites. 100 on the east side, 100 on the west side, and one in the middle area. So there was three different, like a triangle, if you want to say it that way, around about them. And he said, you put in their right hand, 300 of them, a trumpet, okay? And in their left hand, he wanted a pottery pot type thing, okay, that they would break. And he said also, after they break those things, I want them to say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now remember, these men are already afraid of Gideon. Fear has come into their hearts. You see, because of God, not because of who Gideon was, but because God, because Gideon submitted himself to God. The raising of a hero, the making of a hero, that he would talk with the angel, almost a whole chapter. See, God, as we stay with him and we talk with him, God will put things in us that we need to face the things of the world that we're going to face and to do the job that he calls us to do. And all of a sudden, as Gideon gets out there and they're all in their places, all of a sudden Gideon blows the trumpet and all three of them blow at the same time, 11 o'clock at night, pitch dark. They're in their camp, the Midianites. And all of a sudden, as the trumpets blow, all three of them, they break the pottery. And then after they break that pottery jar, it says they all shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." It says that they woke up, and they probably woke up in a daze because they heard the sound of a trumpet. They heard the glass breaking, and they heard voices, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon, who they feared." And all of a sudden, they woke up in a daze, didn't know what was going on, and they took their swords and started killing one another and falling upon their swords themselves because they didn't know what was happening. This is thousands and thousands of men compared to only 300. But let me tell you, when you have the 300 and you have God, you have more than the enemy has. People, God is raising you up to take the sword of the Spirit, of the trumpet of God, and the glass jar, and the sword of the Lord, and of Gideon, and saying, "Get my people. Get my people. Destroy the enemy, because he is the one destroying our country and our families." The power of Almighty God. Look what God can do through a man that didn't think much of himself. Let me tell you, God can do more in us than we ever dreamed is possible. As we allow him to move and do what he wants to do. Can you imagine? All they did was blow a trumpet. All they did was break a jar. All they did was say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, hollering that out. And all these men are dead. That's God, people. And let me tell you, the enemy comes against you, let God take care of him. Come on now. Let God, don't go shy yourself around in the corner and hide yourself. Get up, take the sword, take the word, and get up and say, "Lord, what do you want to show me? Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord." I'm not talking about not crying. I'm not talking about, hey, feeling pain sometimes. But let me tell you, we got to rise up and take our rightful position in Christ and let God do a mighty work and take back what the devil has stolen from us. Taking back the territory and the people and the things that the enemy has stolen from us. He has no right. Zero right, because we are right with God. I didn't say perfect. We are in right standing with God because we've repented of our sins. We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And he, the enemy, has no right to step in our territory and take what he wants. Zero. We stand firm on the word of God and we cut him as the word of God is quoted from our lips. That's why we got to know it. Can you imagine? My Lord. And let God be God. Hallelujah. The making of a hero and what he did. God is looking to make us into heroes. Not by the world's standards, but by his standard. God is looking to make this church into a hero church, which people have forgotten sometimes. And think what, what can come out of there, you know. But let me tell you, with God, all things are possible. And look, let God be God. Let God work in your heart and life and move in you. Some of you think, well, you know what, I don't know if I can do that. What do you have to lose? Zero. What do you have to gain? Everything. God loves you so much and cares about your soul. Cares about who you are. You're so precious to him. you know there will never be, when you pass away, there will never be another you upon the earth. Some people said, thank God. Now, you don't have a big self-esteem problem as far as being lofty. You know, that can be too. That can go over. But there will never be another you. You raising your children or being a father or a mother, all that stuff. Another you. And I know many of you have touched many people for the gospel's sake. You've said, you've stood your ground. Keep on doing what God tells you to do. Amen. You may stand, please. Also, another mention, I don't know if I mentioned, Father's Day is next Sunday. We have a gift for all fathers, all men, 15 on up. Invite your fathers if they're still alive. Invite whoever, you know, hey, men. To honor men. Next Sunday. Amen. I want to give an altar call as far as if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to accept him as your Lord and Savior, would you please just raise your hand so we'll know. We may have people watching with Facebook and YouTube. Everybody here knows the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But let's pray this prayer together in case somebody's watching, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that you are King and you are Lord. I accept you as my Savior. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Let me tell you, I just want to tell you, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and we love you. And I pray you have a great week this week as Andrew comes and closes us in prayer. Amen. Have a great week. Amen.
Come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father God, as everyone goes home, I'm praying for protection. Father God, as they go home and as they go into this week, Father God, we ask that you will give them someone to minister to this week. We're asking you that you will use us to touch people's hearts, touch people's lives this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.